is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Yeah, from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Oh, I've heard. Oh, look at this mysterious hole.
Why do they call it a glory hole?
Oh, I wonder if. Oh, there must be fame and riches on the other side of this hole. Let me go see. Okay. Oh, it's $5. You
Whoa.
Sure thing, you Russian man. You're very strong, aren't you?
That's
I can't
cheap.
Wait to find my. Oh, all of my medals will be in this little hole.
Absolutely.
They?
All your downhill skiing records.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Is this just a cock?
It's a cock!
Oh, no. What a surprise. Well, when in cockland. That's like when in Rome, but you suck dick. Wow, what a great way to start.
What a great way to
start.
Wow,
this is really good. I blame Fernando. Because he brought up the glory holes right before
we
started
brought
talking.
Them up. I think we still brought them
no,
up.
No, he brought
it up.
This
is side stories.
He brought it up first, and then all of a sudden now, you know, we got to come up with a cold open.
Sure.
And it's not always the most intricately planned show you've ever been a part of.
It
I'm
never
certain
is.
You maybe understand. Not even, it's almost like we do no planning, but we do.
Well, we plan some.
We do plan some, but then when Fernando said the word glory hole, this is a zip, zop, zop game.
Glory hole. Gloria. Gloria.
Perfect.
Gloria.
You see, you're taking it to a nice pop-centered place.
Thank you. Welcome to Side Stories,
yes.
Everyone. I mean, I am more of a pop star now than I was last week because of the new hit Little Toes. Also,
people
Marcus
are really
Parks,
enjoying
they're really
it.
Enjoying it. Thank you for patronizing me. Also, Marcus Parks on the stream, one of our final streams, we're in the top countdown. He was able to light a match with his toes. I'm just going to say this. It's been a toe couple of weeks.
Not that I don't get impressed by
that
Marcus.
That was impressive.
I have never seen, because I...
It was amazing.
I can't believe I doubted him, number one. Because first of all, like, then I explained afterwards to Natalie, because she heard about him lighting the match with his toes.
Right.
And then she saw the clip
just
of it.
From the internet, did you even talk to her about it? I mean, this went Marcus Parks viral.
For our version.
Immediately.
Our version of viral. And then he lit the match with his toes, and we were all very impressed. And then he said the thing where he said that when he's home alone by himself, he likes to do activities with just his feet and his toes.
Yeah, remote control is a little too far away.
His nicotine lozenges. That was weird.
Oh, yeah. It was weird.
But then I explained
that to
Natalie, and she's like, huh, so he just does stuff with his feet.
Well,
all
I would
day.
Feel like Natalie is kind of a foot person. She's got long legs. She's able. She's, what do you call it?
Prehensile.
Sure. I feel like she would be a foot person.
Honestly, I saw her picked up something once with her butt cheeks. It was incredible.
Yeah?
That's not true.
Your love?
Yeah, I know. But honestly, she did that back when she was ballet training. This is just a man alone. And then a man alone on his own, because mostly when I'm by myself, I'm touching my penis.
With your feet?
No, I can't get him up there.
I know.
But how does he get... I wonder if he does the same. Do you think he jerks off with his feet?
I think that he probably could. It's an amazing luxury to have that kind of ability. My feet, pretty useless other than what they're used for. They're not going above and beyond. Doing feet stuff and feet stuff only.
Truly, can you feel your feet?
No.
Like, have feeling?
I don't know.
Like, all right, you got flip-flops on.
Oh,
okay, all right, I'm going to touch his heel.
You are?
Can you feel this?
Kinda.
Well, that's good. That means your lower spine brain still works.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Oh, God, why'd I do that?
I don't know. You just touched my foot, though. It was really freaky.
You should go so
sanitize.
Upset. Yeah, man.
You really should.
I was reading all about how the CIA was using them. I mean, I'm really deep in the CIA world. But
that's great.
Back in the day,
it was good for your brand.
It is. There's a gateway thing called the Gateway Program, which you can read all about, which is their concept of using remote viewing. And part of what they use is this thing called Hemisphink.
Mm-hmm.
Hemisphink?
Hemisphink?
Okay. Where they go and they play you different kind of binaural, like, it's like binaural beats. Have you ever tried binaural beats?
No.
They're the dumbest shit.
Are they headphones? What are binaural beats?
Some people swear that they work, but I think it's the same people where ASMR works on them, where it does not work on us.
Yo, dude, ASMR works on a lot of people. It gets things going down there that we can never even imagine. John Goodman made a woman come when he was talking about Big Macs. It must have happened.
I don't know.
Because he did the ASMR for McDonald's.
But they all say that the ASMR isn't sexual. It's like some other kind of sensory experience. I believe that it's also a lie.
That's
like
someone
who does. I do believe it's a lie.
Of course it's sexual.
Yes.
Isn't everything?
But we're going to get into this. Now we just walked into the ASMR discourse again. We're going to get all of these emails.
Well, I don't think that they would be upset. The ASMR community, I think it fully embraces those who enjoy ASMR for sexual reasons and then also enjoys ASMR for not sexual reasons.
That is not true.
Much like professional wrestling. You tell me. I know for a fact there's many men who watch professional wrestling
to jerk off
for different reasons than I do.
Of course, yeah.
And
it's men
fine.
From every culture in tiny pants.
Same thing with football. A lot of ladies like football because
the butts.
The butts. Rugby.
Yeah.
You see butts nonstop. So that
if
just
you
because,
like if you found me watching female volleyball, it's not for
it's
the sport.
It's sexual. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure, that's not the problem. But mostly it's just because they fiercely get all upset when you do say it's sexual, because then we always get emails. I'm just saying we always get a series of emails that go, I don't think I understand that. But there's a thing called hemishrink.
It was good.
Okay. These binaural beats are the same, where it's a type of sound that they say gets you like, hi. It's like sounds that get you fucking stoned.
Like the sound gets you stoned.
And guess what, man?
What?
No, it gets you stoned? Drugs.
Yeah. What's the sound?
It's Okay, actually, Fernando, do we have any binaural sound we can drop in so we can talk about when we circle back? We could talk about this.
I actually do think. Do that again.
That's not the sound.
That
here
is kind of trippy, though. Okay.
Here we go. Let's see if we can get it.
Right. Increase brain power, focus music, reduce anxiety.
All right, let's sit in it. I ain't high.
I can feel it, though. I get it.
I just feel like I'm at the dentist.
Well, you're high at the dentist.
No, I actually.
Yeah, you do.
I don't let them knock me out because I'm not getting molested there unless it's a woman.
Because
I'll get molested by a woman, but then I also want pictures of it.
Sure, you want to have your spank bank. This is giving me waiting in a hospital patient room.
Yeah, I feel like I'm waiting for chemo.
Yeah. I wonder.
Yeah, let's stop this. Like, this doesn't make us high. This doesn't do anything.
That's interesting, though, because
some people,
I wonder, it reminds me a little bit of some people. They'll take something to calm down, but for me, it'll make me all hyped up.
Me too. I don't like melatonin, any of that shit. It makes me feel weird. But the hemishrink technology uses something that it's like, what
are
it does
we spies
is,
now?
Maybe. I mean, we work for the CIA, or do we?
What? Or don't we?
You don't know. But this idea of this music, apparently, this type of thing, they work with your brain. This system utilizes audio patterns containing binaural beats to create harmonization of the brain's left and right hemispheres. It buys them both a Coke.
Isn't that
and
nice?
Combines
they, should, them. They should do the halftime show this year.
That would be cool.
Dr. Dre and Eminem.
You wait, man. Then we get into conspiracy theory real territory where they use the halftime show to hypnotize everyone into, I guess, shedding the vaccine.
There was a satanic panic. What was the one? Was it Madonna's?
Yes.
Where they're like, it was satanic. How could a woman that old still move? She must worship the devil.
Well, honestly, what we've gotten to is a place where like people are ironically using Illuminati symbology and then.
Like The Weeknd.
Yes. And they're using it because they're like giving a wink to all of the people talking about these type of YouTube conspiracy theory holes that say that the pop stars are connected to the Illuminati. And so they're winking. But then inversely, what they're doing is making it all real.
Okay.
But the hemishrink, what it does is make your brain work into this place where you meditate. The CIA did a lot. They put a lot of money into this. Mm-hmm. And you would, because the goal was to create remote viewing. They thought that they were versus the Russians in a race to create psychic, like, intelligence officers.
Saving money on the new Marvel movie. You don't gotta go. Fantasize.
You fantasize. But
fantasize.
Also,
ooh, now I'm just thinking about Kumail Nanjiani's abs.
Ooh, he's
Hi,
very
Kumail.
Tight.
He is
very
tight.
Hi, Kumail. But this stuff, it helps you release. But what they're saying is that when they went through, they started seeing all these fucking, what they called alligators. Fucking reptilians, dude.
From TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Maybe they live in the sewers. They need a turtle. We need a hero turtle.
But this shit kept coming up again and again and again. And apparently CIA officers, and there is shit that is written down about this, that they started seeing what, they were all on the same page. This is like 1978.
Okay.
People seeing this shit that, these alligators that they said were nefarious vertebrates, they control and enslaved humanity, which is exactly what the John Ramirez guy says. If all of this could possibly be an op, right?
A reptilian, perhaps. perhaps.
Yes, they exist and operate in the fourth dimension. All right, and you can only see it, I guess, if you're listening to binaural beats.
So that's what they listen to,
I guess.
Alligators like that?
I thought that alligators would like metal.
Yeah,
personally,
like, or the forementioned when we were in the car. Chumbawamba,
thumping.
Because they don't have any thumbs to tub.
But also, I believe that band is like a Marxist band. It's all about like the working class rising up, and that technically tub thumping is all about that.
Well, they need to be heard now more than ever there in Australia.
You're correct. And then, but this idea that like it is just weird to have all these CIA people all talking about how like this idea that these reptilians sort of like feeding off of us from the fourth dimension. But or is that again? Is this just another lie on a lie on a lie on a lie?
It's the CIA, so I think we can trust them.
Yeah.
I think we can trust them.
Yeah.
I
mean, our taxes pay their salaries.
I'm not going to, you know what? I'm not doing it.
What?
I'm not going to go and be a cuck to some weird ass alligator person.
No.
I don't care.
You got to sign up with the Pleiadians.
I want something like majestic. I'm not bowing down to a bottom feeder like the alligator person.
Well,
I don't
care
about them.
You know what that means, Kissel? The only way.
I'll get in there. I'll tickle their scales.
That actually, even if with your little joking comment, the truth is to put forth a positive attitude. Because the reptilians, as we know, they feed off of negative vibes. So your job is to be fucking super chill. You got your cardigan on. You got your weird ass feed out, which is nice. But honestly, in a way, I shouldn't be disgusted by that. I am, but I shouldn't be because it's your freedom. And so
that's
your freedom's
right.
being expressed like a bald eagle crying into a cloud shows that you're free. Able, strong, positive, happy, and that should keep the reptilians from sucking your dick.
Absolutely. Well, that was the one thing I wanted them to do. Well, speaking of the creepy and kind of the strange, you hear about this UFO story in Texas.
Which one?
There was a JetBlue pilot stunned as a shape-shifting UFO appeared.
No, this shit's weird. This shit's fucking weird.
This is
weird.
In Texas, we were just in Texas, and it has a video. And this, we were talking about maybe updating some of the videos for the live show. I feel like there's an abundance of videos out there.
Dude.
The UFO bit could go on forever.
We've been talking about this now for a while, and it's only getting thicker and thicker. And what's its butts? Maybe 2 weeks ago, there was a video that a flight attendant took outside of a plane window where we saw literally a formation of orbs flying, changing directory, and then shooting up into the sky. This shit's getting really intense. It's really heating up.
It really is. This was a white spot. It appeared on the horizon for a few seconds, and it slowly turned translucent before, whoop! Disappearing behind the clouds.
My new theory is that there's a difference between cylinders, triangles.
Do you know what time the pilot noted it?
What?
4:20.
Funky.
4:20 p.m. p.m. EST.
Watch out, bro. It's 10 o'clock.
But no, I mean, weed helps. You see it.
It does. I mean, I don't want my pilot stoned, but I would rather them stoned than hammered.
Drunk. Yeah. But no, I think that we're going to see a lot of shit come out in the next year or so. There's another guy who just came out, a former USAF nuclear weapons technician by the name of Adrian Reister. He talks about the shit that he saw while he was working at this nuclear facility.
Oh,
he was
my.
At the White Man Air Force Base in Missouri. White Man.
It's called the White Man Air Force Base?
I think it might be like Whiteman. Or Whitman.
Whitman.
But it's White Man. It's spelled W-H-I-T-E man. So it could be Whiteman or but he was there. It was in Missouri between 2003 and 2007. And he actually, this is where they held the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber. I was also researching a bunch of other, if you look up Skunk Works and the triangle shape spy planes that they've been trying to make for a while, what they say that they say are they have patents for gravitational engines, which either could be highly theoretical or it is what they're saying is they are seeing shit in the sky and they're trying to make engines to do the shit that they see the things doing in the sky.
Well, especially when it comes to cloaking, because again, going back to this story in Texas, nothing appeared on the air radar traffic control and nothing was showing on the traffic collision avoidance system. The pilot says we witnessed it for about 5 minutes, at which point it disappeared and then came back. It looked like two boxes melting into each other.
Dude, it's fucking wild. I love this shit. But this guy, he said he came out with another a very long, exaggerated story of what happened to him. He said he saw at least several UFOs. His job was to maintain nuclear weapons on the base. So this shit's like, you know, the most dangerous stuff.
Good night, nuclear weapons.
You gotta pet him. You gotta keep him happy.
You better keep him happy. Give him their grits. Whatever nukes want at dinner, just give it to him.
Give it to him. Draw him a bath. Oh. Right. And he said he had this bizarre experience. And then he was in a state of high alertness. He wanted to stress that because of the nature of the job. He was 37 years old and he noticed the light or orb hovering along the top of the tree line. And I thought it was just a star at the time.
Hmm.
But as I continued surveilling the area, the light orb shot above the treetops and hung there for some time. And then he thought it was a satellite. The transport team then arrived to secure the weapon. So this is the thing, too. When these... shit, whatever that shit is, it shows up in front of these nuclear bases, especially the ones that have nuclear weapons, and the whole fucking base flips out. So the transport team, it arrived to secure the nuke. They immediately have to go and be like, we have to figure out, there's somebody here. We don't know if it's the Russians or the Chinese. We don't know what's happening.
Get off of the nuke. Stop having sex with the nuke.
Get it out of your asshole. We need to send it to Israel.
We have to send it someplace else. Sure. So
the orb bounced a little in the sky and then it shot to the left and then shot 90 degrees straight up and disappeared, which is wild, right?
Reminiscent of how many people's fathers left them.
Yes, very
well,
quickly.
Interesting. So that's a circular orb.
That's a circular orb. But he also had another weird ass sighting in the summer of 2006, where he was working a night shift. He was maintaining a dummy practice bomb. I didn't know they had that. And I'm actually not sure what the maintaining a bomb is. If you know, sidestorytellpotl@gmail.com, please tell us. But he said the nuke tech guy, he'd encountered what he would describe as a shadow person. He said he heard footsteps, but not the familiar sound of one of his Air Force comrades in standard issue combat boots.
And it turns out, shadow person, another term people could use for their fathers,
yes,
perhaps.
And then if he heard these footsteps and he went in to go investigate, and then he said straight up, he's like, I saw what I can't really describe as other than a black mass in the shape of a person standing at 6 feet. He said it wasn't really a shadow, but something that was slightly blurry and didn't reflect any light.
Cool.
And he said it was well guarded. There was no way a person could just fucking be in there. But then all of a sudden, it disappeared. And you know what I maintain? What I realize as I'm reading all of the shit, and yeah, maybe now I'm becoming the Charlie Day meme, right? With all the
Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
But all of the fucking yarn lines connecting all the points.
It'd be nice if they were friends of ours.
Sure. But my idea was, what if, like, this is remote viewing at work?
So that was a person remote viewing themselves into that scenario. So the person's like, I see you here, but that wasn't really the person.
Wouldn't that be the trippiest fucking shit in the world if some of the stuff that we're seeing and these like projections were like astral projection? I mean, this is a high thought.
Well,
obviously.
We can't,
and you have enough tincture still in your system to be with me on this.
Always.
But you know what I mean? Like,
but
this,
you know, my only thing is the CIA.
They're not good at anything. True.
Well,
that's also the truth.
They can't even get a capitalist elected in South America. Like, they have been attacking socialism forever.
And they can't beat it.
No. So I don't know if they can do this.
This is really my major tenet. We're going to get to this in a series very soon. But this idea that, yes, are the CIA like interesting? Are they do they have certain means at their disposal that are effective? Sure.
Yeah.
But I also think they're not very good at closing the deal.
Perhaps not. A lot of bureaucracy.
There's a lot of bureaucracy. But what if people could remote view? I believe that is one of my most deep woo-wee-woo thought truly is that. I mean, astral projection can happen.
Isn't it just technology we haven't discovered yet?
Bro? Bro?
Yeah, I know how to talk these people down.
Yeah, you've learned this for years and sitting at the bar of a sports bar.
Yep.
And understanding,
yes,
how to end the conversation.
Well, going back just briefly to this UFO in the sky, they keep on talking about these two boxes melting into each other, and they say it sounds similar to a cube inside of a sphere.
That is exactly what everybody's been seeing.
That's exactly right. That was according to Lieutenant Ryan Graves. This is what he wrote. He wrote, would love to see this zoomed in and stabilized, but I feel like we're hearing a lot about the squares, the cubes, the triangles. It's a lot of different They're just really going to call them shapes.
And I got a really good email from somebody who works with the federal government, and someone here who's been working with, like, so this is interesting. It's like they actually got a perspective of working inside of intelligence agency. And this is why they think the whistleblower John Ramirez is fake. And I really like this perspective. It would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I currently work for a European intelligence agency that regularly collaborates with teams from the CIA, FBI. I do not know anything about UFOs or the secret space program, unfortunately. But what I can tell you, though, is that European and American ICNDAs are absolutely ironclad, lifelong commitments with literally zero potential for any sort of loophole, allowing an individual to be released from one.
Very scary.
Now, John Ramirez says that he has an endless, like, feedback loop with the CIA, and he tells them that he's going to release all this information. I don't know if that can even happen
or
not.
Who knows?
The only way a person can even acknowledge classified information is if it has already been disseminated into the public domain by other means, such as investigative journalists discovering something, or by whistleblowers.
I tried to whistle and I couldn't. Isn't that a bad whistle? That's a bad whistle.
You might be sick. You might be sick. And even if any analyst or operator who cares about ever working in the industry ever again will keep their mouth shut.
Sure.
For example, when I began working with the IC, I signed multiple incredibly binding legal documents stating that I cannot even acknowledge who I work for or what I do while still employed, which explains the burner email, which is fucking awesome. Moreover, I am legally required to provide the agency country I work for documentation of my whereabouts for the majority of my life, even after I stop working there.
Wow. So it is a full-time commitment.
It's for the rest of your life. It might as well, you might as well be a Scientologist.
I think they get them young oftentimes. And I know there's a lot of people
get
who
right
are the
college.
CIA who, if they could go back in time,
Sina
Ghaznavi. What, you're going to out Sina?
He was, but he thought about it. Because when he got out of college.
Well, he's bilingual.
Oh, yeah. The CIA was all
talented.
Over him. They were very, very excited for him. And then
but he got us instead.
Yep.
We got him. Anyway, be very careful out there. And I do believe there's a lot of remorse to people who sign up too young, because it is your life. And you live a life of secrets. And it must be kind of hard.
I think so, there's the other side, which is probably the people they're looking to hire are the people that love it. That love the cloak and dagger lifestyle.
Until they find out that their wife has been an undercover spy for the past 20 years. And then their entire life is a sham.
But the thing,
it's all been
a mirage. A spy,
how do you trust anyone ever again?
But if you're already a spy, listen,
they can just put you in prison.
Sure, if you're already a spy, you love it. Because you're part of the game. You're also a spy.
Yes, but you can't tell anyone.
No, man.
Even BTK. Even Dennis Rader needed to be loved and acknowledged.
Fuck,
maybe
that
not
piece
loved,
of shit.
But he needed to be acknowledged. And if you're CIA,
that's why
you're
he
undercover
caught.
Forever. I'm just saying, it's got to be burden. It's got to weigh on you.
I'm not
heavy
saying
is the head that wears the crown.
I am just saying there are some people that love the burden.
Some, yes, I'm guarantee you that you are correct. Well, all right. Well, let's move on to a little bit more of an earthly story. Let's go to Indiana.
Oh, my favorite place in the world.
Is it?
No.
The place that you said you actively don't want to ever go back to?
It's not a nice place.
It the people are nice.
The people, well, not
the
in this story.
The Midwest is tough.
Not
in this story. No. So there's this dude. His name is Thomas Holyfield. He's 59 years fun. And he had a roommate. Now, apparently, this roommate he thought was disrespectful to him because she kept on being like, "You're drinking too much.
Yeah.
You're drinking too much."
Yeah.
Because he was a raging alcoholic.
But it's him. He's the alcoholic. You're not.
Exactly. So she felt that she was disrespecting him.
Yeah, Thomas, why are you always drinking all the time?
And it's like, because I live with you. Because I live with you.
That's right. So he was a heavy drinker and she didn't respect that. So in order to get back at her, starting June 1st, he began slowly poisoning Pamela Keltz.
That's nice. You should just get, like, therapy.
You really should. She was 64 years old, and he slowly poisoned her with window shield washer fluid.
So now, she wasn't a real sommelier, huh?
Well,
she really
this
couldn't
is the thing,
tell
though.
That Windex was in all of her drinks.
No. I believe there's a flavor to it that's good. I heard that sweet. That's what they say about the other thing there when you put the Gatorade in there.
What?
Yeah, dude.
What? You're fucked up, man.
No, I'm not.
You're
no.
saying garbage.
No, I'm not saying garbage.
Have
no,
you
truly.
Been drinking Windex?
No, I have not had that in so long. No. What I'm saying is this. You know the thing that the fuel, the oil, the thing, the green, it's green.
What? Antifreeze. Thank you, Fernando.
Antifreeze is very sweet, so people put it in Gatorade.
I've heard that.
But then they did put it, then they put a little something in the antifreeze
to make it not as tasty.
Yeah, they really probably should. So anyway, so this man, he's pleaded not guilty, and they say that Kelce was being treated in an intensive care unit at a Michigan hospital, and that's when Holyfield contacted police, saying he wanted to confess to poisoning her.
Aww.
So this guy really, I don't think that he would have gotten caught.
Well, Holyfield, which is interesting, so apparently at one point, which, I mean, this tracks, they had been in a romantic relationship, right? He was with her. And then I guess he had started renting a room for her because, and he said, because she's my best friend. She's my best friend.
That's what he said.
But then he told officers that, you know, he's a heavy drinker. And she didn't respect, he identified as an alcoholic. Do you understand that? You can't take his identity from him.
It really does seem like it was really important to him.
Yeah, enough to kill her.
Yeah.
And then, because he said that Keats was disrespectful. And then he said he put eye drops into a cup she drank soda from, which is also like that gross thing where just she had one cup.
Well, that's the soda cup. Yes, it's a nice plastic soda cup that slowly degrades through time. And when it starts leaking, you die.
Well, it's like the one episode I saw of My 600-Pound Life where the woman was like, go get me my sweets bucket. And then she had this bucket on a stick that she'd go get, and it was filled with candy bars and shit.
Aww.
Go get me my sweets bucket.
I haven't caught up with that one. I have to... Anyway, I hope they're doing great. They certainly are still living up to the name of the show.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This guy, he said that the record, so this is what the record states. He says, Thomas noted that the eye drops were not causing severe enough illness. Pamela would have hallucinations and diarrhea, but then recover. So the man just tripped out his roommate, and then she's got to go like, and he's just like, what are you doing here, buddy?
Well, you could just
see
him
move out also.
He comes into the living room. You know, he's got his booze for the day. She's got her soda cup, and she's like, hey, Thomas. You see them leprechauns shooting all those diary out, and you just sit there being like, well, I guess you gotta up the dosage. Like, that's all he could think about, just watching her hallucinating shit everywhere, and then
this
be
is
fine.
Like,
because that must make the living situation even worse.
If Spy versus Spy was 100 pounds heavier and drunk, because apparently the victim here, and again, RIP to the victim, we always say, we empathize,
right.
Of course.
You're right. Well, this is windshield washer fluid.
That's right. Apparently, he allegedly said that he put some of that fluid in Kelce's 2-liter bottles of soda. And then she became sick and went to the hospital. So he's just getting hammered off of Bud Lights and cheap Thunderbird. And then she's just slamming sodas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the healthiest home.
It's not. And you know what? But they had
each other, didn't they?
It really,
they did.
That is nice. They weren't lonely. And this does sort of seem like Indiana catering that you would get. But just this idea that he felt he was so much better than her. He thought he was so much better.
Mm.
You know, every once in a while, he'd take a little nip of the windshield washer fluid just because it was just like, well, you're getting her fucked up. I might as well get a little bit on there. I want to get on her page.
Well, he is going to have a great time trying to find booze in prison. You can do the prison hooch.
You get the Pruno.
You get the Pruno. And then I'm pretty sure there's other ways that they can... get it in there.
Yeah, they get just straight up drugs.
Yep. But anyway, so he put larger quantities of windshield washer fluid in her soda bottles. And that was with the goal of killing her. So he did the mugshot.
He looks upset in the mugshot. Like,
well,
he doesn't look happy. He doesn't look satisfied.
No.
It looks like I did what I had to do and I did not enjoy the process of it.
No, he really doesn't seem like he did. But, you know, you can definitely tell that they were a couple. I don't know what this woman looks like, but he looks like he could be a 64-year-old woman. So I just feel like they were merging into one.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's going to be heavy set. All she does is consume soda, it sounds like, to the point where she can't even taste antifreeze or windshield washer fluid. So I think they should have just worked it out.
I feel like they could have just figured it out. I don't know why she didn't like his drinking so much. He wasn't a nice man. Yeah,
he was probably horrible.
Yeah.
It's Indiana, bro.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. Getting drunk in Gary, Indiana doesn't make you nicer.
No, it really doesn't.
It's a fucked up story, man.
If you do have a chance to drive through Gary, do it during the day because there's no lines on the highway. I found that out when I was driving for 25 hours straight.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's like that episode of the Seinfeld where Kramer erases all the lines from the highway, but it's real life.
It's like pure freedom.
Yes,
is what you mean.
Indiana's more like Michael Richards.
Yes.
So it's not like Kramer. Anyway.
It is closer, yes. All right. This next story is, is really fucked up. And I feel like there's a lot of warnings here that you can learn from. I think the audience can learn quite a bit from this. A Brevard sheriff's deputy.
Brevard.
Held a naked man at gunpoint for 4 hours during an armed robbery, and the report shows. Now, the man by name of Amoni Robillard, he's 30 years old. He charged with robbery with a firearm. So this is how this went down.
Okay.
So this man, he basically set it up for this guy to show up online. I guess he did all of this online.
So the guy set up the bank robbery online?
Yes. And so
you can't do that. That's like when people go to McDonald's and they're like, we don't wait in line. We pre-ordered. You can't pre-order the bank robbery.
This is how they do it. This is not a bank robbery. This is just straight up a setup. This is how the cops set up domestic terrorism quite a bit, right? Yes. Where they show up and they give you the bomb and they tell you, come on, we're all going to get together.
Absolutely.
We're going to blow up the Capitol. And then when you show up to get the bomb, they arrest you. And they're like, surprise.
Now I'm the person who was the terrorist. I was just trying to be the terrorist friend.
Yep.
You're the terrorist.
Now you're in. But he did the same thing. So he set this up over the internet this was at an Airbnb in Skyview Drive, and this is in Orlando. So he set it up for this 35-year-old Kissimmee man. He arrived at the home to have sex with a 19-year-old Orlando woman. So he set this up like, we're going to have sex. You're going to, like, this is a whole sex worker thing, right? And so he showed up. He met the woman. The woman was like, hi, ready to go. But she was like, before they got going, the girl asked him, he's like, do you mind taking a shower first, like, before we get intimate?
Common, sure.
Yeah, he's like, okay. The guy went to go into the shower. When he exited the shower, there was another man in there.
Whoa.
Which is Robillard, who was behind the curtain the entire time, who's a sheriff's deputy, right? He's a police officer.
Multiplied like gremlins.
Oh, yes. And he had two semi-automatic pistols. He had a gun in each hand, and he held them captive, right? So he made the man sign a contract saying that he agreed to pay Robillard $30,000, which is, IOU is as good as money.
It isn't, but hold on. So the man behind the curtain is not a cop.
Oh, no, he is a cop.
The
man who robbed this other man is a police officer.
Okay.
He set this all up through a Craigslist post where he basically said, do you want to come? He put up beautiful pictures of this woman. And he said, basically did it through casual encounters. Like, do you want to do an out call? He came there. He busted. The woman who was an accomplice of this said, like, why don't you take a shower first? When he came out of the shower, this cop revealed himself. And then so this is a lot of legwork, though.
This is
lot. He's like, sign this contract. You're going to agree to pay me $30,000. I don't even know how you set that up in a court.
Well,
it's all garbage.
Does the man have $30,000?
I don't know why he thought that this would work. And then he said he even arranged, which is even fucked up. This is a lot of infrastructure. He arranged for a notary to come and the victim's wife to come to the home, because he basically said, I'm going to blackmail you for this $30,000. So I got your wife's information. I'm going to call her. I also already got a notary on deck to make sure that this whole contract's fucking legit, which is also insane. And so then he went to an ATM with the guy at gunpoint, made him give him $200 in cash, and then he then made him Venmo him $450,000, right?
He's at $650 right now.
Yeah,
this is nothing,
right?
I mean, it's not nothing, but
But apparently, the man told Orange County investigators that he and the police officer had been friends for about a year, and that he had given poor cryptocurrency investment advice.
Wait a second.
To the police officer.
So this, first of all, there is no good cryptocurrency advice.
It's so Florida.
It's chaotic. It's an incredibly, incredibly chaotic way to invest.
So this was revenge. This is very long form revenge from Robillard, where he said that apparently because he lost, quote unquote, he lost $2,000. When the so-called Bitcoin company tanked, right?
Well, it'll come back. I mean, also, you're asking for $30,000, which is a lot.
But he also fucking, he videotaped him nude, tried to make him get hard on the phone, right? He tried, it was like, show me, right? And then he was going to shoot him in the head. And at one point, the cop told the hostage that he planned on killing him, cutting up his fucking body, putting it in the garbage bag, and throwing it in the ocean for the sharks to eat.
Whoa!
Over $2,000.
Well, I guess it was a lot of money for them. The 19-year-old Orlando woman, Jerice Richer, she worked in tandem with Rublard to lure the man to the home. So I guess she's also bad. She's been charged with robbery with a firearm and conspiracy.
But how the fuck are you going to make the contract hold? How are you going to get him to pay the fucking $30,000? I don't believe a contract is legally binding if it's under duress.
I don't think that there was a lot of thought.
That's the opposite. I think there was a lot of thought. I think there was
a lot of action.
There wasn't a lot of good thought.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I guess don't give anyone advice on crypto. No. Also, don't accept any advice on crypto.
Fernando's shaking his head. He's literally shaking his head because he put half of his nest egg into crypto.
Top Hat, I give Fernando minutes to talk about crypto. Every week, and he says words, and I say,
I don't understand it.
That's when I just become Johnny Carson's sidekick. What was that guy's name?
The other guy.
Hoo-ha!
Yeah. You know him. Honestly, I don't need new forms of money. I'm already new money enough.
I just want
with the old money.
We just got it.
I know.
All these people with new money are like, and now we're going to create new money. And it's like, we just got
money. The old money.
Can we not move? Everything is moving past us so fast.
I don't know what to do.
Slow down.
You know what we didn't do? You know what, Kissel?
What?
Sheep. Farm. Let's go the past crypto. Let's go past all of the fake bodies and all the stuff. Let's buy 1,000 sheep and we just become sheep people. Let's get into the business of sheep. Let's get in the business of cattle. Let's buy cattle. Kissel, why don't we get into the cattle business? We'll be wranglers.
Well, because we'd do horrible.
Let me look at this. How much to purchase? I'm going to see. How much to purchase?
Oh, I feel like I'm sure there's a round table of gentlemen episode.
No, but we
already
with the cum. We did it with the cum. But I'm just saying. Yeah. No,
you want to buy a cow.
I want to buy many cows. How much to buy cattle? All right. The cost of a cow will be somewhere between, $2,000 and $5,000.
That's actually cheaper than I thought it was going to be. Because you got to think every time you milk them, that's money, baby. And then you look at them and you got to break them down by meat.
Holy shit.
Because you sell a cow. You got a 500-pound cow right there. You got a lot of meat on that bone.
The money's in the calves. Because the calves, that's $140. That's $1.40 per pound. And the price of a 600-pound calf is $1.26 per pound. So, okay. All right, that's not too bad. Maybe we just buy one big cow.
That would be fun.
And we just try to make more of it. What if we buy a mommy and a daddy cow, and we just try to make them make more cows?
They will.
See?
That's what they like to do. All right. Well, perhaps that'll happen in the future. Let's move on a little bit here. Let's move on to New Orleans.
Cows. Look at all.
Yeah, I know. Now you're just getting... Cows are... Yes. Mm. So another situation of a torso not being attached to a human body and found in a freezer.
Torsos really need legs.
It's crazy.
Heads.
So a boyfriend's been arrested in a homicide case in New Orleans. Detectives found a woman's headless torso stuffed in a freezer and a hidden power saw with bits of flesh on its blade.
Cool.
Law enforcement officers searched the man's 9th Ward residence after an investigation into the woman's disappearance. The 34-year-old fella, Benjamin Beal, he was booked on with obstruction of justice in a death investigation.
Well, he said that he killed her. Well, he said he didn't kill her.
But then I think that he did end up saying that he killed her because he definitely did. She was a 36-year-old woman, Julia Dardar.
Yeah, she looked very sweet. Bad name. Very sweet woman. And they went and they said apparently he went... They were looking for her. He went ahead and reported her as missing and told them that she was suicidal. And she said that they actually hadn't spoken in a long time because of, quote unquote, her drug habit.
Oh, so it was her. She was the problem.
Oh, yes, of course. And then
I'm looking at a picture of the guy and I think he had a drug habit as well. And sometimes you can't judge a book by its cover, but then sometimes you can.
You also know that the cops were sitting there as he volunteered all his information. And you know they're looking at this man who, not to mince any words here, looks like a villain from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like he looks like a Foot Clan, like middle manager, like he's running their schedule.
He came up through the Foot Clan, and now he's doing in management. All their taxes
doing all their paperwork. But he he doesn't look good. And so, you know, as they're sitting there, because they're like they're looking at him saying all this fucking garbage, right? And he said, "Well, you know, she definitely probably committed suicide, bro. Definitely, she might have overdosed, you know, because she was a part of this like she might have went to this abandoned U.S. Naval Support Station that with the street drug users, according to this, they call the end of the world. That's where she went to." And then Beale told detectives, "I didn't report her missing because I couldn't find my cell phone."
Couldn't find your cell phone for 6 days?
Yeah, and they're looking at him, just being like, okay. And then they got the search warrant because immediately they're like, "We're going to go ahead and get ourselves a search warrant.
Just to be sure." Just and it's sad because I'm looking at a picture of Julia Dardar. It looks like, I mean, she's a young
girl. She looks sweet.
She looks sweet. It looks like they could be fans. As a matter of fact, they may be listeners. Who knows? 6 days later, detectives executed a search warrant to find some clues in Dardar's disappearance. A padlocked bus sitting in the backyard with extension cords providing power to its interior drew their attention.
This is the problem, is that they had a house. This is one of those standard, like they had a house and then they just had this abandoned bus in the back, which is normally what we have discovered from, thanks to our listeners that are very experienced in this. That's a place where a lot of times meth gets made. It is in an abandoned bus or a car.
Could be.
It's something away from a home because these things tend to explode.
I do like the idea of refurbishing a bus, living your best life on that bus.
Yeah.
Be kind of fun.
Yeah, be the John Madden of methamphetamine, where you just do it all in your bus. You live in the bus.
Yeah, so the cops were like, well, that's weird. They got this power cord going to this random-ass bus, and that's where they found the deep freezer. The affidavit said, upon opening the lid of the freezer, investigators observed the headless torso of what appeared to be an adult female. A deep linear cut was visible along the left shoulder upper arm area,
yes,
which appeared to have been inflicted post-mortem.
She was very much cut up, murdered and then cut up, probably in some form of... I'm not going to say that... I think the victim here might also have partook in some of the drugs, and that they were together and there was some kind of argument. And the problem with these types of drugs, that it makes you mentally sometimes and emotionally unhinged. You probably hit peaks of emotion that you would not normally hit.
Maybe she wanted to move on. Maybe she was sick of the bus life.
And that's what's hard, because you're not sick of the bus life. And then it's like, oh, are you judging me? Because I want to live in the bus that's covered in extension cords where the meth is made, and you want to have like a home with a bed and blah, you know, all that kind of shit. And then he freaks out, kills her. Then he's got to get rid of the body. He then knows he has this image in his mind of every film he's ever seen where you got to cut the arms and the legs off and then you just have this torso. And the thing is, though, the torso.
It's a lot of evidence.
It's a lot of evidence. Well, and it's the most of the weight. It's like.
Yeah,
that's like 80 pounds of your body. If you're 110 pounds, that's probably like the majority of your weight's in your torso.
Especially if you're Dolly Parton. Think about that.
Wow.
Not to give advice to anyone who's going to murder their significant other.
Melt them.
It just seems like the cut up process, you're spraying DNA everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's not going to make it. It's not going to make it better.
No, you need to either melt it or you need to take the whole body. If I was really going to say,
you know what we learned?
What?
Kolinsky? Rats.
With the rats. You could do that depending on whether or not that is folklore or not. But yes, rats could help, but they could still leave bones behind. What you need to do is do what I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to say that it's good, but Josh Powell, the guy that disappeared Susan Powell, what he probably did with her body was never discovered. And I imagine that her body was put inside of a mine. Out in the middle of nowhere. And that really what you need here is a mine. If you could take it up to a place
but
where you could really drop it down.
Well,
Utah. Colorado.
Yeah,
Nevada. You can find it down there.
But they weren't there.
No, you just got to take a road trip with the body.
Prop her up. And then you can still use when you have a person with you.
Yes, an accomplice.
But
that's a problem. Now you got an
accomplice.
When you drive
on the highway, you have the...
Navigator.
No. The lanes for?
You're talking about HOV lanes.
HOV lanes.
Sure, yeah, you can pop it up. You can put a hat on her and be like, oh, no, officer, it's fine. She's just smelly. Yeah.
High occupancy vehicle.
Really good.
That's what HOV means.
But you take her body. You got to get rid of the body.
Yes, you do. Well, this man, again, he just left a lot of evidence for the officers to find.
But if you do have an accomplice in this scenario, this is also a tip to you. You're going to have to kill the accomplice as well.
Everyone's probably going to have to die.
Yes.
So detectives found a nearby Coleman ice chest. Oh, my God. Humble plug for Coleman.
Good plug.
Yeah, you're looking to kill your roommate or significant other.
You can get Coleman. A whole torso in here.
Look at that. They also, so in the ice chest was the saw that was used to chop her up.
Yes.
And the saw, this is according to the cops, they say it appeared to have bits of flesh and fluid on the blade surface.
I don't know why.
A plastic face shield, goggles, and additional garbage bags were located.
Thank God he was COVID safe. Because that's really, when I come down and I look at this, how irresponsible are all of these maskless people?
Yes, indeed.
I can't believe it.
So he was booked with obstruction of justice in the death investigation, illegally carrying of a weapon in the presence of controlled dangerous substances, distribution of meth, possession of the intent. Oh, this is a bad one. Possession with the intent to distribute marijuana.
Whoa, no, not weed.
And 2 counts of creating/operating a clandestine drug lab.
You know what we need to do?
I don't see the murder, though.
But Kissel, we got to get Last Prisoner Project on this and free this man from his drug charges. His weed charges.
Yeah, yeah.
We really got to do it. We can ask them if we could just get those charges cleared. And that's another victory for Last Prisoner Project.
That would be in some ways, but I don't think that's the biggest charge the man will be facing.
But at least he won't be guilty of marijuana crimes.
Just looking at the man, I think he is a man who is he thinks he's very tough when he's screaming high on meth to himself in the mirror.
This is what I'm saying.
But
he looks
prison
like
prison is going to be a brutal situation for this. I'm going to call him. He already looks like a punk.
He looks like the real version of the bully from Doug.
Oh, yes, he does indeed. Doug, fantastic program. All right, well, let's go on. Oh, this story, I actually like this story. Before we get to Hero of the Week, we've been talking about criminal justice reform.
Yes.
We've been talking, some people say defund the police, some say allocate the funds differently.
Yes. We need therapist cops. We need dog cops.
Sure.
We need robot cops. We don't need kangaroo robot cops.
Kangaroo cops are fine. Robot cops, no. But anyway, LAPD officers, they were fired. And I actually want to go to bat for them. And this is because we're equal here.
Oh, wow.
Everyone's equal.
How brave. You're standing up for the police. That's going to really test well.
They're in their squad car, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking boring, right? I mean, there's a bunch of crime and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you
whatever,
know, but if you shut off the walkie, all the crime goes away.
Nothing's going on. Put on Kiss FM radio and just like rock out to some Goo Goo Dolls. So they're in their squad car and like, hey, we have a shooting. I could use some help over here. But they were playing Pokemon Go.
I actually didn't know that Pokemon Go still happened.
Oh, it still happens. And the officers in their squad car found that there was a Snorlax nearby.
Now
a Snorlax, yes, it is derivative of Dr. Seuss. I think the Lorax. I think they should sue. I actually think Dr. Seuss should sue. But they found this Snorlax and they're like, well, fuck being a cop. We have to go and we got to find this goddamn Pokemon Go.
This is the dumbest
shit. So they did, but apparently when they were doing that, there was a series of other things that occurred. And because they were too busy finding the Snorlax, they weren't able to help people, and then that was bad.
That is
so
the dumbest
fired.
Fucking thing I have ever heard. Well, apparently here, I guess it's like, I'm going to flip out, because apparently this made-up piece of fucking shit, little monster, I guess it's the rarest Pokemon available in Pokemon Go.
Well, this is going to be the one that you're going to want to avoid a prison, or you're going to want to
avoid helping a murder for.
Investigating a crime, because this is really a big deal. It's a chunky looking little creature there.
It's just a blue thing.
Yep.
Is this like an NFT?
A little bit, in some ways. So the officer's squad car video camera shows the two officers, Louis Lozano and Eric Mitchell, they ignored a request for backup to play the game.
That is,
Okay. They're not on the front lines.
Yeah.
They ignored a request for backup. It's like, handle it.
Hey, man, Sheryl Crow started as backup.
Is that right?
And then she moved 20 feet to stardom.
Oh, yep. I love Sheryl Crow. So the pair were stationed near a robbery in progress after the responding officers put out a call for backup. But they were like, yo, dude, you handle it. It's a robbery. We have ourselves a Snorlax that we have to find.
I am just so upset. you look at this fucking, and I'm looking at all these stupid cards. It's like $9 for the stupid fucking Snorlax fucking bullshit. It's all made up. Pokemon Go was supposed
to be.
Everything's
all made up.
Pokemon Go was supposed to be for overweight people to get out of their homes.
Yes, and indeed. Or and it was supposed to distract, to get out of their car.
It was supposed to distract people from voting for Hillary Clinton in 2020.
Pokemon Go to the polls. According to court filings, an extensive review of the in-car video system revealed that shortly after leaving the scene of the robbery, the two officers could be heard discussing Pokemon Go.
That is the
including a Snorlax.
This is, you know what? Honestly, this you know what this is? This is fucking Chinese interference. That's what this is. This is literally them directly fucking with our country with these apps, destroying the fabric of our society.
You tell me these officers aren't doing good detective work. They include a Snorlax that had appeared and the best route to intercept and catch it. So they're like, whoa, we're on the trail of this Snorlax. Now, for the approximately the next 20 minutes, the in-car video system captured petitioners discussing Pokemon as they drove to different locations where the virtual creatures apparently appeared on their mobile phones.
And this is the thing, man. And they wonder, it's just so hard because you just wonder why everybody's mad at the cops right now. Everybody's so upset. And you wonder
why. Not for
why.
This.
Yeah, they are. For this.
No, for the Snorlax?
Yeah, I really think that they are. I think that they are. No. I think that people who are really
upset. I would
rather
have the cops going out there finding Snorlaxes.
Than shooting unarmed people. Yeah, sure.
Sure, look what happened. I mean, it happens regularly.
Boy, they're supposed to go and I think they're supposed to go and help.
Well, what's more helpful than when you go to a child who says, I would love to see the Snorlax.
Like, fuck you, I already got one, bitch.
Well, then they can show it to them and they can share with them.
No, you never share.
Well, you can. Anyway, so that was just kind of a fun story about Pokemon Go. And if you are out there and you're still playing it, I hope everyone got the Snorlax of their dreams.
Oh my God, it's going to happen. Someone else is. Do you remember when people were finding dead bodies all the time?
They still do.
I still feel like what is going to happen is that this Pokemon Go, if the police continue to play Pokemon Go, they are going to end up shooting somebody thinking it's one of these Pikachus. They're going to say, we got to stop this Snorlax. From raping that woman. And then meanwhile, like, no, it's just the Snorlax is just there. And then they just shoot some random person in the fucking head.
That is possible. Especially if they do it with the Google glasses.
Oh, Google Glass.
Google glasses.
Google Glass. You know how well, you see how that took off and how everyone's got it on their face and how everyone's excited about it. And every year they say, like, this is the year VR pops off. Meanwhile, it never does. And the meta shit's not going to happen. It's just not going to hold.
I don't think so. Awesome. Just before Hero of the Week, Moline, Illinois. Parents have mixed reactions to an after-school Satan club.
Oh, yeah,
just
this is
let
cool.
The kids, just let the kids be. They'll figure it out. They're
the
just having fun.
The whole point of the afternoon, because like, this is the thing, is that they're all getting together to read all these banned books.
Great.
This is such a they're weird reading. Fucking That's timeline. Amazing. It is. That's the whole point. The whole point is that Satanism is supposed to be the idea of a non-religious version of a thing that's supposed to illuminate you. It's supposed to want you to get as much information as humanly possible so that you are armed with it. You can fight against ignorance, the shadows of ignorance, the light of Lucifer.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on to Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week. This week's Hero of the Week is a little rat.
This is an actual animal that I believe is a hero.
This is a hero.
Because last year, I think the last week, didn't you just do something that was like a donkey?
It was a donkey named after Betty White.
Yes, it was a donkey named after Betty White, even though
Betty White had her fucking birthday. Did you wish her 100th birthday?
This is the thing. I didn't wish her 100th
birthday. Because
everyone
said, I saw multiple posts saying Betty's 100, but she's not, though.
Her corpses. But it's nice. I'm glad
the corpses, not to be, because we love our Betty, of course. But at this point, the corpse, the eyes are gone.
Yes.
The hair is probably, actually, it looks longer, right? Because of the degrading.
She might have been cremated.
Oh, I don't think they could burn Betty.
That's how I'm going, unless they properly put me in a sex museum.
Well, I think that because she lost her husband in 1981. And I think that whatever he did, she's just going to do that.
Do you think she just dumped his body directly? They dumped her body like directly on top of him so they could always be making love?
Well, my grandmother made sure to bury, she's buried by my grandfather, and he actively was scared of her.
So you can never
now,
get away from her.
Now she's
but
there.
Yes, so this is an actual animal hero. But I would say we were supposed to, I guess people gave money on her birthday to various animal funds. That is very, very sweet. But what I did was just, Wendy really is a very privileged little dog.
Yeah, she is. She's very lucky.
So she's doing very well.
Fantastic. All right, so this is about Magua. Now, Magua is dead, but Magua was alive for 8 years, and Magua was a rat.
Now, Magua didn't commit suicide because of PTSD, right?
We don't know, But why would the dog, why would the rat have PTSD? Well, because
from all, yeah.
It was a famous mine clearing rat. So it would go and be like, that's a mine. And then I guess they would explode said mine.
Yeah.
So in the, it had a 5-year career, and the rodent sniffed out over 100 landmines and other explosives in Cambodia.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Because it's killing fields.
Exactly. Because, I mean, so literally this little rat maybe saved hundreds of lives.
Yeah, that's why it's an actual hero.
Yes, Magua was the most successful rat trained by the Belgian charity Apopo to alert human handlers about the mines so they can be removed safely. The charity said the African giant pouch rat passed away peacefully this weekend, probably doing what rats do. And he said it was in good health. It spent most of the last week playing with its usual enthusiasm, but he started to slow down. He started napping more, and he showed less interest in food in the last days.
That's really very sad.
But, you know, that's how they go down.
Yeah.
So it was trained to detect the chemical compound with explosives, and Magua cleared more than 141,000 square meters, the equivalent of 20 football fields.
Wow. Big ups to Magua.
Yep.
I'm glad that you're out there. You're dead now, but while you were alive, you were very useful.
Magua was capable of searching a field the size of a tennis court in 20 minutes.
That's huge.
Something a Popo says would take a person with a metal detector between 1 and 4 days.
Damn. Wow. Good for that rat.
Yep. And it was awarded the PDSA gold medal.
Mm. It didn't even know it.
No, it's still a rat.
Yep.
But isn't it nice?
I mean, it probably left the fun. I bet in a way, looking for the landmines might have been like fun for the rat.
Yep. He was the first rat to be given this medal in the charity's 77-year history.
Yeah, I imagine it should be. Because if it does this, it deserves a medal. But I think no normal rat deserves the medal.
The PDSA gold medal. Sometimes it's described as the George Cross for animals.
That's incredible.
So there you go. So for his life-saving devotion to duty. Well, there you go. So anyway, Magua, thanks for what you did there. Wow, an amazing sense of smell.
And it's really, really great.
Yes, indeed.
Really good. And now it's time for some listener emails.
Yeah.
It is
cute. Well, I do say, honestly, it's kind of serious, too, because his amazing sense of smell allowed communities in Cambodia to live, work, and play without the fear of losing life or limb.
That's incredible.
Isn't that nice?
And now it's time for some listener emails. This is another. This is a completion of the email of how the CIA hires people, and this is a person's idea of what goes on within it from tangential.
Is it LinkedIn?
It's LinkedIn.
Do they go on LinkedIn?
Yeah, they might. In regard to what type of people three-letter agencies hire and how, Henry, you are correct in your statement that they are mostly looking for level-headed people who can also react to incredibly fluid and dynamic situations. However, the IC is far less spooky and rigid these days than the Cold War. Back in the day, agencies looked for two types of people. For analysts, they would look for the top of their class Harvard PhD geniuses that could extrapolate data like a human computer.
Not anymore.
But for operators, people who work in the field, it was more the well-known Jason Bourne, hard-nosed badass types that could get shit done quietly, efficiently, and then charmers who could flip a source for information.
That'd be us.
That'd be us.
Yeah, because I can't be a ninja.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. We don't have the bodies.
Battering ram, boys.
Nowadays, however, the IC prioritizes analysts who can handle extreme amounts of information and pick out the most important parts from the noise. This is due to the sheer number of signals an analyst receives in a day being overwhelming to the point of insanity.
Well, that actually, when we went to the bathroom at the Dirt Bar in Houston, Texas,
yes.
They had all those weekly world newses out there.
Yeah.
Can people in the intelligence world confirm or deny that sometimes they hide real stories? It would be like, Goat Boy found taking a dump in a Walmart parking lot.
We know that
some of
that's
true. Followed by something where it's like, that's an actual piece of information about Russian intelligence or whatever. So let us know where you hide in plain sight.
We do know that they do. We know that they do that. But if you have any more information, that'd be awesome.
That's really interesting.
The hiring process, mine at least, was some of the weirdest MKUltra type mindfuck shit I've ever experienced, with memory tests that were designed to induce a legitimate state of panic to see how someone reacts to absorbing and handling incredibly dynamic information while in that mindset. Following on from this, a lot of the hiring process is designed around seeking how trustworthy you are as a person. While polygraphs are still used, intelligence agencies will also put the potential new hire in situations, unbeknownst to them, that seek to test how easily they will say a dishonest statement, right? No matter how tiny, even under duress.
Yep.
For instance, A recruiter might say, "No, Ben, that's wrong. You said in your initial interview that you were born on a Monday, not a Tuesday," and argue the point to point of becoming enraged. And this is to test the subject. They will be able to lie just to exit a confrontation or to let a situation be more agreeable, right? So if the applicant gives in and lies to make the recruiter happy, they will become undesirable as a candidate as being dishonest about literally anything, because that is a red flag to them.
That is one of the most interesting things. Absolutely.
Yes. And so on the most part, they honestly do not give a single fuck if you tell them every horrible detail of your life. You could have been a junkie, suck Hitler's dick or whatever, shat yourself. As long as you're upfront about it, they don't care, because the whole point is to nix any blackmail material, which is really, really interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very, who knows? Because so this is one of those things. It's a murky world, but I find it fascinating.
Fascinating. It really is fascinating. And we'll be, of course, in Washington, D.C. very soon.
Very, very soon.
Can't wait to entertain y'all out there.
There we go. And this is a weirdo story. This is from the Uinta Basin.
If you are CIA, by the way, come and say hello. I'm up. I mean, I don't, whatever. I got nothing to live for.
You got nothing to live for?
I have nothing to live for, CIA.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Hire him. Or thanks for the employment.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Pay me in crypto? Oh.
Oh, fuck.
God damn it.
This first story comes from when I was on a weekend trip with my friends.
Ooh.
We had planned a 2-day backpacking trip into the Uinta wilderness.
Wait, is this going to get sexual or did I just infer that?
You just inferred
that.
Okay. Into the Uinta wilderness to a somewhat well-known but quiet place called Red Castle.
Oh.
The dispersed campsite we had planned for was a small clearing in between a stand of trees that allowed us to see Red Castle and the small lake below it. The hike in the first night passed without issue. The strangeness we experienced happened mostly on the second night and the hike back. The first full day we were there was spent hiking to a viewpoint over the valley we were in and fly fishing on the lake. No. That night, as we were relaxing by our small campfire cooking food, mid-conversation, we started to get a sense that it wasn't just us in the area. The sound of birds and crickets that we had listened to the night before were all but gone, and the air near us was noticeably more still. This made for a more uncomfortable dinner as we could not shake this sense. We finished, cleaned up, and packed our stuff, and we went to bed as we had a full next day planned. I'd fallen asleep in absolute silence, but around the time of 1:30 a.m., I awoke to the sound of what could only be described as violent thunderstorm rolling over us.
Hmm.
Wind shook my tent, and the sound of thunder shook me to my core.
Cool.
However, it wasn't the thunder that scared me. Instead, it was these quick flashes of light that you would expect from a storm right before another thunderous boom sounded. A light would quickly grow and then dissipate after reaching a certain point, almost like someone was turning on an adjustable light switch to full power and then back down quickly.
Hmm.
Over the course of the next half hour, I watched this light slowly transform into flashing lightning of a normal thunderstorm and a deep resounding boom. It just stopped completely, with the sounds of crickets resuming 5 to 10 minutes later. I finally worked up the courage to peek outside my tent and found that the night sky was completely clear, with not a cloud in sight.
Cool.
Usually you're able to hear a thunderstorm coming and listen to it leave. This sounded like it started right on top of us and ended there. I finally passed out around 3:30 due to exhaustion from the night before. I woke up around 8:40 the following morning. Asking my friends, I found only one of the three experienced the same thing I did, down to the same exact detail. The other two said that they had not experienced any of what we were talking about. We spent the morning and early afternoon fly fishing and hiking around the other side of the lake.
Well,
we packed everything up and started our 10-mile hike back to our parked cars. We were about an hour into the hike back when we experienced the same lack of birds and crickets chirping. There were quite a few times that our group spotted movement and things from the corners of our eye. We all got the sense that whatever was watching us did not want us there, right?
Cool.
But by the time we reached the parking lot, we were practically running. And once we had gotten to our cars, we were able to center ourselves and calm down.
Get out of the Bigfoot woods.
It is really fucked up. It's just one of those things. I've been out there.
I
remember hiking in Utah with a friend, and we went out there, and it really does. There are these moments in time where you're out there and you really do feel like you're being watched, and you don't know what the hell's going on. But one thing I will say is the nighttime stuff was really weird, but the daytime stuff, it really just could be wild cats.
Could be cats.
That's very scary out there with these cats.
I want to go camping now. That sounds fun.
Well, maybe we'll do it one day for your 50th.
Fly fishing is really difficult, though. I want to go. Can you shoot? Is it legal to bring a shotgun out and just start shooting at all the salmon?
I think you're not allowed to. It would ruin the meat. It would ruin the meat. Now, you have to be really careful. I actually kind of see fly fishing weirdly in my future.
I could see you doing it. You got big boots. But it's hard to fling.
It is. It is. But I really want to get into it because I want to live my life. up at the creek. Get on up. Got my waders on. Got pentagrams all over them. I'm going to probably get out there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm not really in the morning
person. Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
You know, get out there and do the afternoon. I'm going to love just sitting on that bank. I'm going to sit in the bank. I got a fucking, my dab rig.
Oh.
I'm doing dabs.
Nice.
Natalie's there with the top off.
Oh, nice.
I'm enjoying that. I can look at her boobies. I got the fucking, I'm doing the fly fishing.
It's
don't
just
really care.
You guys.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah. By then, you're long dead. Everyone around me is dead. It's just us.
Well, then I can see for I'll be there then.
Oh, yeah, staring from heaven. You'll be up there, you, Betty White.
Yeah, that's nice.
Just railing Betty White up in heaven. And then I'll just laugh. I'll just laugh just thinking about it like, oh, no one would guess they'd see me here now, city boy, out here in this creek catching flies, get all sorts of bass.
I think it sounds lovely.
Honestly,
it'd
be nice, man. Fucking listen to my binaural beats.
I'm getting there, man.
Hopefully, man. One day.
One day we'll just live at the creek.
Yep. Just like Paris Hilton when she did that farm show.
Yeah. But no, she's apparently we're supposed to feel sympathy for her or something now.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I feel nothing.
I feel absolutely nothing, neither negative nor positive about her.
Yep. I'm gonna take your line and say I feel nothing because that's true in this case.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for supporting the show. And thanks to everyone who came out in Austin, Houston, and Dallas.
It was so fucking
truly
fun, man.
Awesome. We
really good. Really
people,
good shows.
It just goes to show you once again, people are great. Politics are one thing, but man, the people of fucking Texas are just fucking awesome.
They're better than the people I met in Florida. Yeah. They're absolutely better than the people I met in Florida.
We have to pit people against each
this
other,
year.
I suppose.
This year. I'm just
this
talking last trip.
Someone was in the water this year in Florida. I don't know what's going on.
I know what's going on, but Texas really was like, not to be anything. It surprised me with how friendly they were.
It's been so long since we've been there, so it kind of gets blurry. And
our audiences are, as always, just some of the best in the fucking world. I want to give a shout out to Matt from Pinpoint. It was good to finally hang out with the guys who do our merch. It was so good to hang out with them. It was so good to hang out with Brad. We got a bunch of good friends out there, and I can't wait to come back. We got a couple of plugs. We got the comic book over at Z2, last comic book on the left. Go check that out. Order that for the spring. Still on a pre-order. We haven't started delivering those yet, so I've had some people ask questions about delivering those. They're not ready to go. We won't be going until probably February or March. Then next week, we'll be in Richmond. We'll be which I believe is completely sold out. We got Richmond, we've got Philly, and we've got DC. It's really excited to come out to see you guys again. And I think that's it.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
See you freaking meow.
Yep. Don't kill your roommate.
Don't kill your roommate. Go fucking move out.
All right.
Just ghost them.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.